Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now with Denise Thompson, certified health and wellness coach, nurse, fitness trainer, educator, speaker, and author. Today's subject is signs and symptoms of a heart attack. They're a bit different from a heat stroke. And this is the time where a lot of heart attacks are happening. I'm very sad to say I did not expect it, but in the summertime, with more daylight, people think they're indestructible, and a lot of things are happening. So now I just want to create an awareness on how we can recognize the signs and symptoms and what we actually can do about it. But to preface it all, let me tell you that in the U.S. alone, over 3 million cases of heart attacks are diagnosed every year. 3 million plus cases of heart attacks a year in the U.S. alone. That is a huge number. And there are so many more countries. Just picture this. And the saddest part about it is, can we save a life? And how would that make us feel or make you feel if you could save a life? Well, before we go into that, let me share some of the signs and symptoms that are very specific to heart attack. It usually starts with chest pain, then moves to discomfort in the upper body, causes shortness of breath, makes you break out in a cold sweat and have anxiety, gets you nauseous, makes you have indigestion, causes fatigue, dizziness, flu-like symptoms, and to top it all off, a racing heartbeat. For adults, it's normal to have anywhere from, depending on how fit and athletic we are, anywhere from 48, 50 beats per minute to maybe 70 beats per minute is totally normal. However, when it goes over 100, 120, then we can tell our heart is racing. And that's when we need to start being careful. So I found actually some points from Dr. Geeta Krishnaswamy. And I would like you to take a couple of minutes to just read the abbreviated transcript that I put in the show, because I can't talk about everything in length. This is just to create awareness. And of course, despite the fact that I was a nurse, I'm not a doctor, so I don't diagnose. And I suggest you always check with your doctor about anything or everything that I'm saying. If he or she agrees with me, then great. If not, we have something to talk about. Maybe it's something they haven't heard yet, or it's something that works in one country and not in another. So anyways, I just want to make sure and put that disclaimer in. I'm not a doctor, but I was a nurse and a fitness trainer, and I'm a health coach now. And I'm taking health very seriously. Changing our habits of disease to habits of health is my main goal for me and for everybody around me. And that includes preventing things that we actually have the power to prevent. So here's an example. It's 7:25 p.m. when you're going home. Start experiencing severe pain in your chest that starts to drag out into your arm and up into your jaw. You are only about 5 kilometers, divide that by 1.6. And then you get the miles, so it's about 3.5 miles or something, from the nearest hospital to your home. the pain gets so bad, you have no clue if you can make it to the hospital. You say, well, wait a minute, I was trained in CPR. Uh-oh, but I wasn't taught how to perform it on myself. Okay, that's probably something we should take up with the Red Cross and the American Heart Association, that they train us, the ones who are CPR certified, how to do it on ourselves if we need to. That'd be a kind of a step in a new direction. So, how to survive a heart attack when we are alone? Actually, science has supported this, that a person whose heart is beating improperly and who begins to feel faint, not the heart, but the person, has only about 10 seconds left before losing consciousness. 10 seconds when it's a life or death situation is very crucial. So, this is all talking about when we're alone and we don't know how to do CPR on ourselves and we want to handle this situation before we're unconscious, because at that time we really can't do anything anymore. So, one big sign is actually to cough repeatedly and very vigorously. Take a deep breath before each deep and prolonged cough. Repeat every 2 seconds until help arrives or until the heart is felt to be beating normally again. And with that cough, let me be very, very straightforward. It says repeatedly and vigorously. So what you do is you take a deep breath in your belly and you cough from your belly, a real deep cough. Like if you want to cough up phlegm or sputum or whatever you have that want to really cough up, you don't do it up in the throat. You do it really deep in the belly. And that's where you want to cough from. And take cough as long as you can till you have almost no breath, and then you have to take a deep breath. That is actually very important, because the deep breath gets oxygen into your lungs, and coughing is a movement that squeezes the heart and keeps the blood circulating. So as long as the blood circulates and the heart gets squeezed and the pressure is being kept up, your heart keeps a normal rhythm, and then you don't faint and you can actually prevent a serious heart attack and still make it to the hospital and survive it. And many people even come out totally healthy again after recovery. Some people have some minor effects left. But just knowing that when you feel that experience of chest pain, of the discomfort in the upper body, shortness of breath, and cold sweat, that should be more than enough as a symptom to cause awareness that you need to take action. The others, the nausea, the indigestion, fatigue, dizziness, and flu-like symptoms, and racing heart are just additional symptoms. But you know what? Let's be honest with ourselves and start really, truly loving ourselves and take care of ourselves first. Because how can we take care of anybody else when we are not healthy? So that's why I want to talk about this. If nobody is around who can call 911, you can call probably still 911 real quick and then just do whatever you need to do. Do your deep breathing and do your coughing. Again, first a deep breath. And then deep and vigorous coughing down from your belly button up, so you can actually get that heart pumping, the oxygen in the blood that keeps the heart pumping to prevent serious. There was a story about a boy who was 16 years old and his father had a heart attack. And it was actually quite traumatizing for him. He says, when I was 16 years old, my father had a heart attack. While it was scary ordeal, he was lucky enough to come out of it relatively unscathed. And with a few lifestyle changes, he was back to his old self in no time. However, many of those lifestyle changes were obviously instigated at home. And I will forever remember the day when my mother came home from the grocery store and instead of butter, she bought margarine. What is this? What in the world is this? I vividly remembered asking, only to be informed that this would be the new norm in our house, as the doctors told my father he needed to cut out saturated fats. Needless to say, it was a sad day, and it wouldn't be for a few more years before I would regularly have butter again. However, if it adds insult to injury, it seems that a group of cardiologists is telling us that the belief that saturated fat found in foods like butter, cheese, and meat clogs arteries isn't just not as serious as we thought, but just plain wrong. Even in people with established heart disease, reducing saturated fat alone doesn't reduce heart attack, says British cardiologist Dr. Asim Malhotra of Lisbon and an advisor to the UK National Obesity Forum. According to Malhotra and his co-authors, who wrote the editorial that was published in the online issue of the British Journal of Sports Medicine, the time has come to shift the narrative and address the core causes of heart disease. One thing that's very clear when you look at the totality of the evidence, saturated fat does not clog the heart's artery. And sadly, for many years, for decades, in fact, this has been the primary focus of treatment of heart disease and public health advice, Malhotra said in an interview. Sadly, many doctors believe that damage has already been caused by this misinformation over the years. This is due to the fact that as a result of the warning about saturated fats, people shifted their diets towards consuming more carbohydrates. This practice, however, is a problem in and of itself, as processed carbs and refined carbs also play a part in developing cardiovascular disease. What this editorial really brought to light was that your diet, if it is a diet rich in carbohydrates, can be associated with what's called insulin resistance, said cardiologist Dr. Michael Farku, who is the chair of multinational clinical trials at the Peter Munk Cardiac Center at Toronto General Hospital. That allows your innate inflammatory process in the body to attack the vessel's wall and start the process of hardening of the arteries. So, what should the focus be on? Simple, according to these doctors, a Mediterranean-style diet, taking a brisk walk daily and minimizing stress, they say, is all you need to do to be concerned about. And as vivid or avid butter lovers, we could not be happy. So this is just an excerpt from a really wonderful article that I had, and I gave you the link actually under http://www.rmheartattack.com, so you can actually look into it more clearly. For you to contact me with suggestions, questions, or whatever you have, you can call me at 562-335-4956, leave a voicemail, a text, or maybe if you're lucky, I might be able to answer the phone. But definitely look into this, learn the signs, and learn how to prevent it and how to help yourself and help to help others, so we can reduce that humongous number of 3+ million a year in America only who have heart attacks. I wish everybody a most wonderful summer, and I say until next week, stay happy, healthy, and empowered.